Blog Talk Radio.
And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have a show for you. We have a show for you. I'm excited about it. Today's topic of conversation is going to be good. Y'all know how we do Wisdom Wednesday. And today's conversation is going to be good. Y'all ready for this? Five good reasons. Oh, Lord, five good reasons to close a church. Five reasons you should close a church. Five reasons a church should close. That's what it is. It's going to be good. I hope y'all ready for this. Man, look, hey, I just read the articles, so don't hit me with no mess. I'm just telling y'all, I'm just going with the article. You ain't got to agree with the article. You really don't. But it's going to be a good time, man. That and so much more is happening on today. So let me give you a rundown how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one. As for those of you who are already listening on your phones, you can just push one and you can be a part of today's show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Also, Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Or just go to Facebook and do a search for Taking Limits Off Radio. You'll find us there. Real simple. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Again, that's Ustream.tv. We would love to hear from you via Ustream. Facebook Live should be up and running in a matter of moments. Facebook Live should be up and running in a matter of moments. I think we good. Did I have everything in there? Yep. And yeah, Facebook Live will be going live in about 2 seconds. There it is. Amen. So look, we are good, man. It's going to be a good time in the Lord today. And then also, if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Always excited to hear from our listeners by whichever medium you choose to do it. That's also good. That's also good. Also, you can find us live. If you want to email the show again, it's takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. Also, you can subscribe to this podcast by simply going to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. Look, just by going to that site and signing up, they don't send you no, they're not going to send you any spam emails. You're not going to get no bunch of emails. The only emails you'll get will be from the show. That's all you have to do, right? It's real simple, real easy to do. Appreciate y'all for that. And then last but not least, you can also go to iTunes and download our podcast. That's right. We are on iTunes. Yeah, y'all heard it. iTunes. You can find us on iTunes just by doing a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. We would love to hear from you that way as well. It's going to be a good time, y'all. It's going to be a good time. So look, before I do anything else, let me make a little room. All right, make yourself a little room. All right, so before I go any further, I have to do this. So today, right now, you all would not be watching, enjoying, or listening to this show right now if it wasn't for today. If it wasn't for today, you would not be listening to this show. Why do you say that, Dan? Well, look, today it's my mama's birthday, right? It's my mama's birthday today. I need y'all all day long. Look, my mama said she wasn't even gonna be on Facebook today, and I believe she probably won't. But it's my mama's birthday today. So this is what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to inundate my mama's Facebook page if you can today. I know she don't even know none of y'all, and that's okay. Do me this favor. Go to her Facebook page. For those of y'all who don't know my mama, go to her Facebook page and put happy birthday and then put hashtag TTLO family behind it, right? Happy birthday, Cheryl King. That's her name, Cheryl King. Real easy to find, Cheryl King. Go to her page, and it's, I already put some on my page. So you click on her name and find on the page. Go to her page and put happy birthday, hashtag rather, happy birthday TTLO from TTLO family. Just do that. Do that for me. As many as y'all that can. I just want to inundate her all day with birthday, because that's how much, you know, like I said, wouldn't be no me if it wasn't for her. Best mama in the whole world, Craig. I know all y'all. I know everybody thinks they got the best mom in the world. I know that's automatic, but you know, I know some of y'all got mind bad disease too. But I do have the best mom in the whole wide world. Best mama in the world. Best cook in the world. She is. She's the best. She's the best mama and the best cook in the whole wide world. That's what? I said it. And y'all know some of y'all mamas can't cook. Don't even try it. Y'all know some of y'all mamas can't cook. So I'm just gonna go on here and put that out there for y'all. I don't mean no harm. I'm just saying, yeah, that's what it is. I'm just saying that's what it is. The good brother Marvin Wilson, I see you. Woo, Clark Junction City, Fort Riley, Kansas. My God, is that where you're from? I'm seeing a whole bunch of new people on Facebook Live. God bless y'all. My goodness, welcome. Thank y'all for coming on into the show. I really do appreciate it. Not that I don't appreciate my consistent listeners, but anytime I see some new names pop up, Augustina, let me just go through some of these names. My God, God bless y'all. Thank y'all for listening and watching. Apostle Robert Haley. Greena Pryor, God bless you. Marvin Wilson Sr., what's going on? Tara Forbes Cannon, Tiffany Walter, Leslie Kelly, what's going on? Leslie Roy Summers, what's going on, Bowling Buddy? Roy says, happy birthday, Mama. Enjoy your special day. That's right. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate y'all. Cindy Clark, Maria Jess, Tim King. Are we related, Tim King? I don't know. God bless y'all. God bless your mama's page is not open to leave comments. Oh, really? Oh, wow. Well, you know what? Put it on the post that I put on my page. You can put it on my page. Do it on my page then. That's she'll see it. That's all right. I put a post on my page. You can do it on my page. Y'all forgot mama got her stuff on lockdown. She, you know. I wonder why mama got stalkers. Y'all think my mama got stalkers? She might be too old for stalkers. Oh God. Y'all know I'm silly. I don't even know why y'all question it. Y'all already know. Y'all already know. She might have some stalkers though, so ain't no telling. About that. So her page is blocked, so y'all can't send her no message. But y'all can put it on the page. I posted a picture of me and her. You can put your comments on there. Remember, this is all you gotta do. Hashtag happy birthday TTLO family. That's what, you know, so that way she know who you are, cause she don't know some of y'all. So, you know, some of y'all she know, some of y'all she don't. So the TTLO family people, those she don't know put TTO family behind it, so she'll be like, oh, and then she'll yell at me and say, boy, why you had them people telling me happy birthday and I don't even know them people? Because that's what I do. That's my mama. So once again, happy birthday to her. And my mama made a good, let me say this right now, my mama made a good 67. Let me go and put it out there. And she looked good for 67. I'm trying to tell somebody right now, my mama looked good for 67. I just want to go and say that real good, say that with my chest. She looked good for 67. Must be in the genes. That's all I'm going to say. Amen. Amen. So, again, I'm going to say that. I might say it a couple more times today in the process of the show. Happy birthday to my mama. That is. All right. So, yeah, and I need to get her back for surprising me on my birthday in May this year when she popped up in the studio. And I ain't forgot about that, Tanya, and the rest of y'all who was in on that love plot that y'all did. But, yeah, need y'all to do that for me today. So, thank you. Appreciate y'all. Really do. Okay, so look. Let me talk real quick. A lot of stuff going on, right? But let me talk real quick about this. Y'all know I'm here in the city of Chicago, right? So here in the city, and Chicago is in a area called, it's in the county called Cook County. Well, in Cook County, first of all, Illinois has some of the highest taxes around. Ridiculous, right? And then the county we live in has some of the highest taxes around for a county. And then the city we live in has some of the highest taxes in the city. I want y'all to talk about that, right? So y'all I just want to lay the groundwork for what I'm about to say. I'm just trying to lay the groundwork for what I'm about to say. So all of these things exist here in the city of Chicago that I mentioned, right? Okay, so here's the deal. In the city right now, they started this tax. I see y'all coming on there. Anton Little, thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. I tell my mama, Spank, you said she looked great. Yeah, out of respect. She said, I'm 50. Cindy Clark said, out of respect, I'm 55, no wrinkles yet, and 21 grandkids. Good Lord. Well, God bless you. Bless you, crazy coming all eight. Really? Really, Leslie? That's what you're trying to say? That's what you're trying to say, Leslie Kelly? Let's see, Anton, what's up, Spank? Yvette Somerville, what's going on, big sis? I see y'all coming on in. Come on in the room. Bless y'all. So anyway, as I was saying, in Cook County, they Cook County has a shortfall for money, right? There's a shortfall for money in this area called Cook County. So because of that, the Cook County Board President, I'm saying mama could have some stalker. You're right. She really could. I'm going to tell y'all right now. In a word, let me repeat this. Like, let me say it like I feel it. They don't want this. They ain't ready. Let me say it like that. Afternoon, Yvette. God bless you. So let me talk. So Cook County has this tax, and they're calling it the soda tax. That's what they're calling it, the soda tax. And the soda tax, yeah, it's a soda tax. They're charging a penny on every ounce in a drink that has sugar in it. Any drink. That's supposed to be the premise of it. And the reason they're doing it is that the quote-unquote purpose behind it is because we have so many unhealthy kids and diabetes. This is the way they're trying to sell this thing. So somebody is spending an awful lot of money, and it says Mike Bloomberg sponsored these commercials, right? It says Mike Bloomberg sponsored these commercials. Now, I don't know if this is the Mike Bloomberg who used to be the mayor in New York or not. I'm not sure. I have to do the research to find out. Tanya, maybe you can find out for me. But they're playing these commercials, and they're trying to make people feel bad about drinking soda. Now, I ain't talking about, you know, you want to be healthy. Some people just don't drink pop. That's fine. Whatever. Okay. So in the process, they're charging people all of these extra money. Now, if you go buy a 2 liter of pop, it's going to cost you almost an extra dollar or extra $2 in a tax on the price of the soda. So the 2 liter might only cost you 99 cents for the soda itself. But because of the ounces involved, they're going to charge you all, they're going to charge you more money for the soda because it's a quote unquote sugar tax. Now, let me say this. This is the biggest scam, ripoff, money grab, thievery. Prince had a song some years ago called Thieves in the Temple. I think that was on the, was that on the Sign of the Times album? No. Was Diamond and Pearls album? Was the Diamond and Pearls album? Help me out, y'all, my Prince fans. Was that Diamonds and Pearls? But he had a song called Thieves in the Temple. And Thieves in the Temple fits right now so perfectly for the county of for Cook County, Illinois. I can't even understand. They're showing these commercials and they're talking about we have all these obese kids and all this stuff. So you telling me all these kids are now all of a sudden in all of the years, you think a parent is going to stop buying soda to give to whoever because you raised the tax? Can I make an honest conversation? I buy my sodas and stuff now. When I'll go to DuPage County. Y'all stay with me. I will go to DuPage County and buy me a pop before I let Chicago get it. So now you're driving people out of the county. So the very monies you thought you were going to get. So we got in Cook County, they're charging us for sugar tax. And in the city, they're charging us a bag tax. Yeah, they charge us for bags. Did y'all know that? See, some of y'all who ain't from Chicago, did y'all know in the city of Chicago, we have to pay for bags at the grocery store? Like they literally charge us for bags. And they say it's to stop it's for pollution. To stop all the plastic bags from being all out. It is Bloomberg. Thank you. Best producer in the land right there. See how she put that up there real quick? Yeah, so it is Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor. And I'm actually a Michael Bloomberg fan, but not on this. It is the worst money grab. It is the biggest thievery. I mean, really? Literally right now. And this morning, they were supposed to be. Oh, and tax on. All right, and they're taxing you for buying bottled water. I'm sorry. We also pay a tax here in the city for buying bottled water because they want you to drink the water out the faucet. Now, don't get me wrong. Chicago, you know, I don't drink Chicago water. I don't drink. I'm a little bougie with the water I drink. Ain't going to tell y'all what it is because they don't pay me for no endorsements. I appreciate the water, and it's good stuff. But they charge you for this, right? Graffiti brick. What? That was on Graffiti Bridge? I don't know about that one, Spank. Graffiti Bridge. Tanya, can you check that out? Can you confirm what that was on? Was that on Graffiti Bridge? Seriously, right now? Are you telling me that? but so now you're going to force everybody to take their monies elsewhere to avoid paying these taxes. And it's absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. It's crazy. And these commercials, I should have downloaded the commercial so y'all could hear it. And then when you see the people doing the commercials, so that this is what they're trying to sell. They're trying to sell it. They're saying that the soda companies, Pepsi, Coke, RC, all them folk, have targeted their advertisements toward blacks and Hispanics. That's what they're creating a racism where I'm sorry, I don't believe there is any. Because guess what? I see just as many white folk drinking pop as black folk. Huh? I mean, stop. But the commercial says that the soda companies are targeting African Americans and Hispanics. Man, bye. I'm sorry, Sister Prep Winkle, down to the county. But Sister Prep Winkle, as soon as the vote come up, I'm going to tell you right now, you done messed up. Sis, you gone. Ain't nobody finna deal with you no more. And remember, she ran on the platform of not raising taxes. Because if I'm not mistaken, the person she beat, Stroger, was going to try to do the same thing, and she won saying the exact opposite. Now she going to come and do the same thing? Tony Preppwinkle. Really? That's her name, y'all. Tony Preppwinkle. Y'all check it out. But I am literally next. Thieves in the Temple is on Graffiti Bridge. My fault, Spank. I should have known. It is on Graffiti Bridge. Really? I did not know that. I thought that was on a different album. Wow. Okay. All right. She said, Fiji, what if y'all want to send him a cat? Right. Now, we will take a love offering of some Fiji. We'll take a love offering. Don't even ask for money. I take love offerings, you know, for Fiji. It's a beautiful thing. Pastor Cornelius Parks, y'all pray for him. Y'all pray for Parks. Parks said next day going to tax tissue. You know what? They might actually start taxing tissue. You know what they're going to do? I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They ain't going to tax the regular tissue. They're going to tax those of us who like the 2 and the 3-ply. You know, you. You know, those of us who like the 2 and the 3-ply tissue, they probably going to try to tax us who, like, you know, need that extra layer or two. You know, you don't want no mistakes. You don't. I'm just saying, you know, that 2-ply, that single ply tissue, you know, that single ply. I'm just saying, y'all know that, do y'all, you know, y'all ever had, you know, is it Charmin that makes the, no, who is that? Is that Charmin that make the single ply? Who is it that makes it? Oh, is it Scott? No, Scott. That's what it is. Scott still got that single ply tissue. And I'm thinking, you might be right. Who's that said that they were going to tax Parks? That they might start taxing the tissue, but I believe they're going to tax the 2-ply and the 3-ply. They're going to try to get some extra money out of y'all who like the 2 and 3-ply tissue. Because I know, right. Really, Spank? Spank say the deep wipers. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, you've seen the commercial with the Bears, and, you know, they be talking about, you know, they want to be, they should, you know, I'm just saying, you know, and then, you, right, I'm just trying to help the people. I just, that's the purpose of this show is to help the people, and we discuss it and everything. I'm just, how many of y'all right now are, you know, what y'all prefer, 1-ply, 2-ply? Do I have any 1-ply people? 1-ply people, can you just type 1, but 1-ply people? If you're a 2-ply person, type 2, 3-ply person, you know. Or you don't care as long as you have tissue. I know some of y'all don't care. I have preferences. Y'all know I'm a little special. I can't, you know, certain stuff just got to be in the right order for me. I can't use the cheap paper towels. I can't, you know, I want napkins that's like real napkins. I don't want them 1-ply napkins. When you eat, you got to use 55 napkins. But if you get a good napkin, you know, I'm just saying. I, you know. Right, see, Cindy, right. Baby wipes, what? Oh, see, that's just an extra step. I ain't mad at you. That's just an extra step. Ain't nothing wrong with it. That's an extra step of fresh. You want to be fresh. See, some of y'all walking around here not fresh. But they're going to tax you for trying to be fresh in Cook County. I promise you, if y'all let this soda tax go and y'all let these folks tax this soda, the next thing they're going to do is they're going to tax the tissue. I'm telling y'all right now, they're going to start taxing tissue in here, Charmin Ultra Soft. See, that's the good tissue. See, that's that good tissue, that Charmin Ultra Soft. That's it. You know, you got to, you know, Charmin. Don't squeeze it, though. You know, you just, you know, it's just good. It's 2-3-ply. You know, you need a little extra layer of, you know. Y'all pray for me. Y'all know my man is bad. Y'all just. see what Anitra says. Anitra says, they feel sodas and sugar drinks are the cause of health issues, and companies selling and promoting are targeting certain demographic people. Those people exist in more than Cook County, so that logic makes absolutely no sense. Right, and then watch this, watch this. How come if there is a tax, right, this you charging this extra tax, if it's so bad, then why people who own, like, what is it called for food stamps? What's the food stamp program now? Is it WIC? It ain't WIC. What is it called? Is it WIC? What the link? The link card. If that's the case, they shouldn't be able to buy it, right? Can people with the link card still buy pop? Because link card don't pay no taxes, right? That is true, right? The link card people, y'all help me out. I ain't trying to say none of y'all on link. I'm just saying. Link card people can buy pop, but they don't pay no taxes.
They don't pay any taxes. They wanted to tax them, and they did, and they took it off.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, best producer in the world. All right, see, there you go right there. So the link card people don't pay no taxes on the drink. I say don't let them buy no drinks then. Now, watch how fast you get voted out then if you stop the link card people. You know, those of you who like to put, Pepsi in your baby's bottle at 9 o'clock in the morning. Y'all need help. Pray for me. Seriously though, it's at the end of the day, it is the worst possible thing ever. It is strictly a money grab. I almost think the soda tax is worse than the red light cameras. I equate the soda tax to the red light cameras in the city. Money grab. It ain't to catch speeders. It ain't to catch people that's running lights. It's to get them people. It's just to get regular folk who probably was going a little bit too fast every now and then. And now you're trying to just, it's a straight money grab. But I'm so glad that the Costco is down in Oak Brook, which is in DuPage County. You know, and there's some Targets in DuPage County and some Walmarts out there in DuPage County. So I'm going to tell y'all right now, or those of you who live far south, go on over to, what's that? Is that Will County? No, what's the, is that Will County, the further out south you go? Go on out there and get you, buy your pop and stuff. Because the taxes hit on everything. It's in the bars. So think, can I talk to my people that go to the clubs? You go get a rum and coke. The price of your rum and coke just went up. You can't even get a rum and coke. They done went up on the price. I know they said, oh, Lord, the preacher talking about drinking. Get over yourself. But they done went up. They done went up on the rum and coke. 7 and 7. Like, what if you get a 7 and 7? The price of 7 up done went up. Now, here is where I have. This is even my larger issue with the drink tax, with the sugar tax, or the soda tax, as it's being called. It's only supposed to be charged on drinks that have sugar or the other sugar. What's the fake stuff? The NutraSweet and all that stuff. That's what it's supposed to be charged on, right? So I drink a drink. There's a drink that I drink. It's an energy drink, right? It's by this company called Aspire, right? And you can look it up, Aspire. And I'm just saying it because I'm going to say it because I want y'all to look it up. There is not one drop of sugar in this drink. Zero calories, zero fat, zero sugar. But why in the grocery store does it say this drink is subject to the sugar tax? Ain't no sugar in it. And there are other drinks that don't have sugar, but they're charging you the sugar tax. So not only are you doing a money grab, you also lying, and you just changing the rules as you go. Pert Winkle, you got to go, baby girl. Baby got to go. She got to go. Why aren't they targeting fast food restaurants? First of all, okay, I get your point. Why aren't they targeting fast food restaurants if the real concern is people's health? No, let's take it a step further. If the people's concern is really health, rather than going up on the prices of the good food, why don't y'all force the food that's good for you, why don't y'all force them companies to come down on the price? Huh? Why I got to pay double for an organic apple, but you want me to eat healthy? You want me to eat all this natural and healthy stuff, but the prices is doubled on the healthy stuff. So if you really want, you know what I'm saying, if you want me to eat healthy, come down on the healthy prices. Y'all ever been in Trader Joe's? Trader Joe's is not for regular people who work a 9-to-5. Now, I know Whole Foods just got bought by, who bought Whole Foods? Was it Target? No, who bought Whole Foods? Somebody help me out. Who bought? Amazon. Amazon bought Whole Foods. Thank you. So Amazon bought Whole Foods, right? So supposedly the prices in Whole Foods supposed to come down. So you're telling me you're going to charge me because I want to drink pop. You want to charge me an extra tax. But then for the good food, for the food that's supposedly good for me, I still have to pay double. So see what I'm saying? It makes absolutely no sense at all. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's a scam. It's a ripoff. The whole thing is out of it. I can't wait until this time for this next election because, sister girl, Prep Winkle, you know what? I'm happy you was president. I voted for you the first time. You tricked me. But guess what? You won't get my vote again. I don't care who running against you. I ain't voting for you. I will vote for who running on sugar. Can we get somebody that want to run? Where am I? Can I talk to the people that got inner fat girls and inner fat boys? I need one of y'all to run and run on the promise that you're going to not only take away the sugar tax, but that you're going to put a 2-liter of Wild Cherry Pepsi in every vote you get. You're going to get a 2-liter. You know what, though? Maybe we need to go back to making Kool-Aid. See, that'll fix the whole problem right there. Maybe we need to go back to making Kool-Aid. Because, see, they're not because ain't no sugar in the Kool-Aid, you know, in the pack that come, right? We need to just go back to making Kool-Aid. You know, we had these issues when we used to just drink Kool-Aid, right, and lemonade, you know, at the house. We didn't have these issues. Maybe we need to just go back to drinking Kool-Aid, and then they can't charge us for nothing because you're using the water out the faucet and you buying sugar, you know, the bag of sugar. Got to be Domino, though, you know. Don't buy that generic sugar. That generic sugar don't dissolve. I hope y'all do know that, right? Y'all know y'all can put generic sugar in some Kool-Aid and it don't dissolve. It like sits at the bottom. It just. Oh, you want me to run, Spank? Man, you know what I'm saying? Man, there's premixed Kool-Aid. Oh, no, see, no, they're going to charge you for that. No. You don't want that. And that premixed Kool-Aid ain't the real Kool-Aid, Cindy. That it don't taste the same. You got to do too much doctoring to that. No, you just need to get the little package. And I'm talking about real Kool-Aid, not that, what is that, Flavor Aid. Not Flavor Aid. See, Flavor Aid, that's that Aldi stuff. That's that ain't real Kool-Aid, y'all. Can I tell my Kool-Aid people that? I'm talking about Kool-Aid with the little fat man on the front, the Kool-Aid man. If it ain't got the Kool-Aid man on the front, that ain't real Kool-Aid, see? And I'm going to need y'all, see, maybe we need to go back to drinking Kool-Aid and put this pop down. You know, I ain't made a picture. You know, maybe I'm going to make me a picture. I don't even have a picture to make Kool-Aid in. Let me think about it. Let me check my household supplies. I don't think I have a picture. I don't have a picture. I need to buy a picture. I'm going to make me some Kool-Aid. I think the next time I go to the store, I'm going to go and get me a couple of packs of Kool-Aid. And I got sugar already. Got to keep sugar. And a little lemon juice. And I'm going to make me a big old pitcher of Kool-Aid. Mix me up some cherry and some grape. Mix them together and some black cherry Kool-Aid. And right. You have to walk. Ain't nothing right. Grape Kool-Aid. Ain't nothing like grape Kool-Aid. Bishop Samuel Bongaga. Is that your name, sir? Bishop Samuel Bongaga. I'm going to want to know where you from. I'm seeing all these new names that popped up in here. R.D. Williams, God bless you. Y'all just coming on in the room. Who's that? LaWanna Radcliffe. All these new. Jennifer McCurt. What's going on, baby sis? June Williams. Gloria Ellis. I see you, Gloria Ellis. Alejandro Henry. I have never. God bless y'all. Y'all blessing me. I'm seeing all these new names. It's just wonderful. God is good. Y'all come on in here and say something to the people. Don't just come and be sitting in the back talking about me. I know y'all probably is, but it's okay. But say something when you come in the room. Now, see, when you don't say nothing when you come in the room, I call you spies. See, when you come in and don't speak, and you just come and sit in and just watch, and you don't say hi, you don't say nothing, you know, I call you spies. I think you come in just to, you know, just to peep in. But anyway, so I had to get that off my chest, y'all, about that sugar tax, because it just bothers me. It just does, man. It bothers me. So I know they were supposed to be voting on it today. Hopefully they vote to get rid of it, and because it needs to go. It definitely needs to go. Yeah, that's it. So real quick, man, I just saw this on the news earlier today. This is some of the red stuff. Some of the stuff we're still finding out about Florida, and after Hurricane Irma. And I'm finding out that it says at least 6 people died at a Florida nursing home after 6 people died at Florida nursing home left after Irma. It says 6 patients at a sweltering Hollywood nursing home, talking about Hollywood, Florida, died in Hurricane Irma's aftermath. Authorities said Wednesday, as people confronted a multitude of new hazards in the storm wake, including oppressive heat, brush clearing accidents, and lethal fumes from generators. What it says here in the article, it says Hollywood Police Chief Tom Sanchez said investigators believe the deaths at the rehabilitation center at Hollywood Hills were heat related, and added the building has been sealed off and we're conducting a criminal investigation. He did not elaborate. Three patients were found dead at the nursing home early Wednesday, and 3 more died at the hospital after a total of more than 100 were evacuated, many of them on stretchers or in wheelchairs, authorities said. The air conditioning had went out, but Sanchez said it remained under investigation whether the power was entirely cut. He didn't answer questions regarding whether a generator was running inside the place. Wow. That's really sad. That's really unfortunate. That's really unfortunate, man. That's crazy. That's sad. I don't understand why. And again, we don't know the details, so I'm not going to pass any judgment, but I guess the first question I would ask is, if these people were in a nursing home, why would they not immediately evacuate it? Like first, that's just a question. If they were in a nursing home and we knew this nursing home was in an area that was going to, be hit, Why weren't they evacuated? Like, why weren't they on the priority mandatory, we coming to make you move, evacuation list? I'm just wondering what we're going to learn later about that. But I would hope this was not negligence on anyone's part, and this was just a really bad accident. But again, the question that I'm going to ask is, why were they not evacuated immediately? That's a real question. That bothers me. That bothers me. And then, so we definitely want to, you know, keep the people in the people in Texas are still recovering. People in Florida now, you know, they're still trying to start the recovery process. I believe there's still some 6 million people without any electricity. So, you know, it's going to be a long time coming for this recovery effort to take place. So we definitely want to keep them in our prayers as they continue to move forward in this process. Amen. Here's something that was also on the news this morning here in the city of Chicago, and this lets you know why there is a need. This is why you know there is a need for the church at a time like this. This morning or yesterday. Yesterday, it says an elderly woman was pushed to the ground on Chicago's north side Tuesday evening by 2, watch this now, teenage robbers, one of whom could be as young as 12 years old. I'll read that again so it can marinate for y'all. An elderly woman was pushed to the ground on Chicago's north side Tuesday evening by two teen robbers, one of whom could possibly be as young as 12 years old. Now, let me read this. The 80-year-old woman, this is insane. The 80-year-old woman was walking down the street in the 1400 block of West Altgale Street in the city's Lincoln Park neighborhood just before 5:20 p.m. So it was still light outside. 5:20 p.m. here in Chicago, sun is still shining brightly. And yesterday was a gorgeous day, actually. 5:20 yesterday p.m. when police said two teen boys walked up to her and knocked her to the ground. I'm so at a loss right now. It literally says, unconfirmed witnesses say the boys had some type of handle or baton in their hand, which was used to knock the woman over. Fortunately, she was not seriously injured and did not have a need to go to the hospital. After yanking her purse off her arm, police said the two suspects fled south into an alley that runs along North Southport Avenue. Officers searched the area but did not find them, police said. The purse had cash and other personal items in it. One suspect was described to police as a male with dark complexion between the ages of 15 and 21. He's about 5'7", weighs about 140 to 159 pounds. The other suspect was described as a boy with dark complexion between the ages of 12 and 16. He was about 5'4", weighs about 120 pounds. I'm at a loss. I am at a loss. 80 years old. And one of the robbers is possibly 12 years old. What do we say to that? Now, you 12 years old, you should have been at home doing your homework. The other one possibly 15 to 16 years old. So this is what you outside doing. This is what you deem acceptable. Because you see an old lady, 80 years old, walking down the street, and you think it's okay. You think it's okay. It's all right to knock her upside the head, push her down, take her purse. You think that's okay. You don't see anything wrong with that. So again, This is where there is a need for the church. Now, I'm not saying the church can't solve all the problems. I'm not saying that, so don't take it and run with it. Don't say I said that. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you have churches that are active in communities, and watch this. This wasn't in a bad neighborhood. This was in Lincoln Park. Now, I can guarantee you this. The young boys that probably did this probably don't live in Lincoln Park. They probably don't even live in Lincoln Park. But the fact that this is something that is deemed acceptable, because this ain't the first time, and it probably won't be the last time. But it just bothers me. It just bothers me. That this is the climate that's been created. And you 12 and 15 robbing people, don't tell me that's got 12 and 15 ain't got nothing to do with lack of jobs. Okay? Y'all can I don't want not one community activist. I don't want no after school program people. 12 and 15, you ain't got no business robbing. No, that ain't got nothing to do with you ain't got no job. Nothing. I mean, not nothing. It has nothing to do with you not having a job. This is everything to do with, you know what? We have poor parenting. We have nobody. We don't have any mentors. So, our kids are being mentored by what they listen to and by what they watch and by what they see on the street. And here again is where we have to do a better job. If you don't teach your kids, the street will. That's been said on this show 100,000 times. If you don't teach your children, the street will teach your children. You got 12 and 15-year-olds robbing an 80-year-old woman. You can't blame this on lack of jobs. That's not how this works. That's not how this works at all. This is based off some mess where you got little boys and little girls running the street all day. This same thing, not knowing where your kids are. We just talked about this the other day with this little girl that they found dead in a freezer here in Illinois, down in Rosemont, but she was from the city of Chicago. You need to know where your kids are and what they're doing. I don't care how they act in front of you. It's how they act when they're not in front of you that matters. Everybody can be good in front of mama. Hell, I was the best at being good in front of my mama. But it's what you did when your mama wasn't around and when your daddy wasn't around. That's the true sign of who you are. It's one thing to be mischievous. It's another thing to just be bad. And some of these doggone kids are just bad. I don't want to hear, don't call people's kids bad. Some of these doggone kids are just bad. And don't give me this boys will be boys mess. I won't hear none of this boys will be boys mess. Girls will be girls. They just having fun. No, they not. What, you think the 80-year-old woman who got a knot upside her head, who got her purse snatched, you think she thought it was fun? They was just being silly. Or were they? Excuse me. Or were they? Because, see, what's going to happen when they run up? Because, see, here is the problem. Let me show you how this works. Let's replay this scenario, right? Let's replay this scenario. So the two little 12-year-old and the little 15-year-old, and by the description we hear, they were dark-complected, so we just going to go with they was probably, they was probably African-American or could have been Hispanic or somebody. They dark-complected is how they were described. So let's say, and the lady, 80 years old, they don't give us her description. But I'm just going to say 80-year-old woman walking in Lincoln Park. I'm just going to leave that for those of you who know the Chicagoland area like I do. I'm going to let you marinate on that. But let me say this. Let's replay the scenario. And the little 12-year-old dark-complected boy and the little 16-year-old dark-complected boy ran up on 80-year-old grandmama. And let's just for scenario's sake, we're going to say that the 80-year-old grandmama happened to be a Caucasian. Because we don't know, but I'm just going to assume she was. And let's just say 80-year-old grandmama reached in her purse when she felt her purse being snatched, or reached in her waistband, or reached down and pulled out, or say a little nice little 22 or a little 38 special or a little baby 9mm. And commenced the shooting, little 12-year-old Pookie and little 15-year-old Ray Ray. Oh my God, the headlines would have been white woman scared for her life kills two black kids. And all the outrage would be all over. Oh, Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something right now. I wish she had a gun. I don't care. I don't care. Y'all can get mad. Yes, the preacher is saying it. Let me say it just like this here. I wish, as Serge the Entertainer would say, I had the wish factor. I wish she had a gun on her. And I wish she had been able to pull it. And I wish she could have put one in each one of the back of their assurances. I wish she could have popped both of them. And then I wish I could have saw whoever their parents were on TV talking about she didn't have to shoot my baby. Huh? You knocked her in the head and she defended herself. And you gonna say she didn't have to shoot my baby. What? Huh? Huh? I don't hear nobody. I don't hear y'all. Because y'all, she could have just shot in the air and scared him. No, Chief, you hit me in my head. I wish the 80-year-old grandmama had been carrying concealed carry. Legal is all outdoors. I wish she had been a former military Army Marine that retired from the Marines and goes to the range every week to shoot and practice. I wish she would have been a hunter, and they'd have popped upside her head, and she would have reached down in her waistband, inside her stretch pants, or whatever she had on, and commenced to shoot in their little behinds. And I promise you, it'll be a different type of conversation. Y'all would have been, we'd have been all, let's go march through Lincoln Park. March for what? She should have put, man, look here. These be old rap songs. And part of the song used to go like this. 16 in the clip and one in the hole. I'm just saying. I wish she had had something with her. Because it would be a different kind of conversation. 80-year-old grandmama pops two little fools trying to rob her while she was walking, minding her own business in Lincoln Park. I wish that's what it would have been. Let me leave this alone. I need to go get me some of my good water over here in the corner. We're gonna take a break, y'all. Y'all help me with these special people in this city of Chicago. I don't even know what to say about these people. Hit me with your questions, your comments. I know y'all got something to say. I know y'all do. But hit me with your questions, your comments. I know we got them. It's gonna be good regardless. We're gonna take it as we go. But we're gonna be good, man. Y'all stay blessed. We're gonna take a quick break. Taking Limits Off Radio. We will be right back. Y'all stay blessed. TLO.
We picking up the cross and taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Do it for God the boss. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. Taking the limits off. We picking up the cross. Us in the dark, so we need light. Let's talk about his word to gain insight. Too many of us lost, though we go to church, following traditions that no longer work. Steady passing them along as if they carry worth. Christ died for our freedom, but we still hurt. Lack of knowledge got us bonded by tradition's curse. Hopefully we last, but we ain't the first. Then we judge to make matters worse. Don't hold a grudge, cause I'm in church with a wrinkled shirt. We're picking up a cross and taking our limits off. Taking our limits off. Taking our limits off.
Yes. I know some of y'all asking, why is he keep playing that old song? I like our original theme music. And guess what? It's ours. So can't nobody say we borrowed it or stole it. It was written for this show. I ain't got to worry about Facebook talking crazy. I'm trying not to get in Facebook jail no more. So every now and then I'm going to switch it up and play something that we own the rights to. That's why I'm doing it. So don't ask me no questions. Get over it. Anyway. So we are back. Real quick. We got this really good article, man, and I'm going to jump into it. This is going to be good. I saw this article this morning when we were programming the show. We were going to go with something else, and then this one popped up, and I was like, well, this is where we're going. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. As soon as I can open it up over here, we'll be all right. Well, bless the Lord. Definitely gonna be good. So the article is real simple, man. It's real simple, but it's straight to the point, and I want to make sure I give it all the time it needs. It says five good reasons a church should close. This article was just written on September the 11th of this year. Let me start this off. Let me put the disclaimer up. Let me make sure y'all can hear me right and see me. I did not write this article. I just want to put that out there for all of the people, because I know I got some people, you know, especially for the spy. I didn't write it. Had nothing to do with it, but it is good. It is good. And yeah, so we gonna get right at this thing. It is good. Seriously, it is a good article. And I'm actually gonna enjoy talking about it. So the writer is, again, it's five good reasons a church should close. And I know some people probably thinking, well, why? What's a good reason for a church to close? A church shouldn't close and all that stuff. Okay, we gonna see if your opinion changes or not. Because there will be a time where we will hit situations where some churches probably should close. So let's just jump right into today's conversation. Let's go. The writer says this. It's no secret that churches close every year. That's what the writer says. It's no secret that churches close every year. He goes on to say, that every time I hear of a church closing, my heart sinks. And he says, despite the voices of all of the critics, I really do believe that the local church is a beacon of light in a world that's increasingly dark. He goes on to say, in light of the fact that I have the strongest bias towards seeing churches grow and flourish, are there ever reasons a church should close? He says, sadly, I think there are. Sadly, I think there are. He goes on to say this. He says, I began my ministry in three little churches that were fairly close to death. He says, one of them maybe had a year left. But by God's grace, we saw tremendous turnaround and began to reach new families and see new people come to faith. He said, what was needed in many ways was a heart transplant. It's not that the people didn't have good hearts. It's that the church had lost its heart. It's no longer had a burning sense of mission. He says, once we discovered the church's mission, things begin to change dramatically. Yeah. He says, that's my wish for every church. That's my wish for every church. The writer goes on to say this. So how do you know the end is near? When should a church close? Here are five good reasons a church should throw in the towel and close its doors if it does not want to change. See, there's a caveat. It does not want to change. We're going to jump into this, y'all. This is going to be good. If you haven't hit the share button, this is the time to go ahead and hit the share button. Invite your friends. Invite your mom and them. This is the time because it's about to get good. It's about to get deep. Let's delve into it and let's see what this writer's saying. Let's see if he's going to use some scripture to back up his argument. First one. Number one says this. The real mission is lost. The real mission is lost. The writer says this. He says, once you begin to lose momentum as a church, it's easy to go into survival mode. He says, as part of that, and part of that is understandable. He says, you're trying to keep the doors open, not lay off staff and persevere and preserve the progress you've made so far. But it's also easy to lose focus on the mission in that process. He says, and when you do, it gets bad quickly. Mm. He says, you start to see every new person as someone who can give and serve. Oh, my God. He says, and rather than someone to serve and introduce to Christ, let me read that again. You start to see every new person as someone who can give and serve rather than someone who can serve and introduce to Christ. He says, you start to view every decision through a cost filter. You care far more about efficiency than effectiveness. Oh my. He says the conversation shifts from how much you can do in Christ to how little you can do and survive. The real purpose of everything you do moves from advancing the gospel to keeping an organization on life support. Oh my God. He says when survival becomes a church's real mission, you've lost the mission and the end is near. Can I talk? Oh Lord. Oh Lord, our Lord, our excellent is our name. Oh Lord, can I talk to y'all? Can we talk? If you, my God. Can I share this with the people? Let me share this with the people. Let me put this in here. Oh Lord. Here we go. So here it is. when your church has no momentum, meaning everything you're doing at the church is based off of survival mode. When you're into, people go survival, survival, survival. What do you mean? What do you mean? That means you can't launch into anything new because your whole purpose is trying to survive. So instead of you doing the things necessary to go forward, you want to stay in this one position and die. I'm afraid of losing what little we got. So let's do what's necessary to maintain what little we got. So what we're going to do is we're going to lower our standards, so that the people who are comfortable will stay comfortable. Ah, my God. So the people that are already here don't leave. So we're not going to push them. We're not going to challenge them. We want to keep everything status quo because that's what they're used to. Oh, I know. It's okay. It's okay. I know y'all gonna sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But we want to stay there because see everybody is comfortable like this. Because see if we start making changes and these changes start to and now the changes start to affect the comfortable people, then nobody new is going to come and deal with this lack of or this mediocrity that you have going on this or this big bag of inconsistency that you produce on a daily and weekly basis. Hold on. Oh, my God. Don't miss this. This is good here. This Bible study material. My God. So then because you want to keep everybody comfortable, now you can't go out and actually do the real mission work. Because, see, the real mission is outside the church. But because we're all uncomfortable going outside the church, we're going to do it from inside the church. We're going to just hope y'all show up. Oh, my God. So what we're going to do is our job is to just keep the doors open and hope by osmosis that you just going to walk in the door. I don't hear nobody but myself, but it's all right. I really think we think that people are just going to supernaturally going to just show up because the doors are open. And that's not the mission. And like the writer says, when the mission is lost, your church is dying. The end is near. When survival becomes a church's real mission, you've lost the mission. And the end is near. Now, some folk don't want to hear that. They're gonna say you talking doom and gloom. No, I'm talking fact. Here's what survival looks like, right? Survival says, I'm gonna sit at home. I'm gonna get this government check. I'm not gonna ever go get a job. And I'm gonna do what's necessary to survive. Now. The risk is this. This is where thriving people do. Thriving people say, I'm not going to live like this. Thriving people say, I'm going to go out and do whatever's necessary to move to the next level. See, so people who want to survive will do just enough to stay under the radar. See, for me, it will be easy for me to just sit back and ignore all of the craziness that I see going on in churches today. Because, see, then that's called going along just to get along. And I'm sorry, that's just not in my DNA. I can't go along just to get along. I'm not built that way. That's not how I'm built. That's not what was instilled in me. So that just ain't gonna work. So at some point, we have to move out of this survival mode. Amen. Let's keep going. Number two says this. Excuse me. The church cares, oh my God, more about itself than the people it's called to reach. Woo. The church cares more about itself than the people it's called to reach. Let's read what the writer says. The writer says this. He says, it's a sad day when the church cares more about itself than the people it's called to reach. He says, so many churches are so consumed with the preferences of their members. So many churches are consumed with the preferences of their members that they have no heart for their non-members. And yet the church is one of the few organizations on the planet that exists for the sake of its non-members. Oh, my. He says, when you visit some churches, you think Jesus said you should focus on the 99 found sheep and ignore the one that's lost, because that's how many of our churches behave. And see, people like to take this parable of the lost sheep and really screw with it and take it to mean this. So if one of your members of your church decides to stop coming, let me help you. That's not a lost sheep. That's a sheep who chose to go somewhere else to a different church. The parable of lost sheep is talking about someone who does not know the Lord. Okay, that's dealing with someone who does not know who you're trying to bring into the flock. I ain't talking about someone in the flock who knows the Lord and decided to go somewhere else. Let me keep going. The writer says this. He says, but think about it this way. If everyone in your town or city went to your church except one single person, you're called to abandon everything until that one person is reached. He says, I realize few people believe this, but I have a hard time understanding the story any other way. Maybe it makes more sense from a family perspective. If you have four kids and only three make it home for dinner, no decent parent, whether that's 75%, will say that's good enough. If number four decide not to show up, then that's fine. Come on. He says, no, you forget dinner, you call the police, and you send out a search party, and no one sleeps until the missing child is found. He says, what if Christians behave that way? He says, when a church only cares about its members, it's a good sign. It's lost its soul, and it's not a bad or surprising reason it should be closed. If Christians didn't rest until every person was reached, more people would be reached. Wow. 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 I can't even, that's, oh my God. That's saying a lot right there. I hope y'all didn't miss it. That's saying a whole lot. But we spent so much time on trying to figure out why folks left the church. See, leaving the church doesn't mean leaving Christ. Maybe they left your membership. Maybe they left your organization. Doesn't mean they left the church. It doesn't mean they left the church. It means they just left your organization. When we're talking about reaching the lost, we're talking about reaching those who do not have a relationship. Those are the people you ought to be going after as a church. Not the ones who had the relationship and made the choice to leave. Do you need to find out why they left? Absolutely. But your whole evangelism point should not be on trying to get them to come back. That shouldn't be the focus of, that ain't evangelism. I done said it over and over again. That's truancy. That's real talk. Your focus has to be on going out and telling those who don't know the Lord to come in and compel them to come. Not those who know the Lord but decided they don't want to know the Lord with you no more. They want to go know the Lord somewhere else. Guess what? I'm happy that they went somewhere else if they're still in relationship, and you should be too. You should be too. We ought to be excited that folk decided to continue their relationship with Christ if they went somewhere else. And if people are leaving your churches in droves, and yes, somebody ought to investigate why they're leaving. Absolutely. Absolutely, they should. But at some point, you can't keep going after people who make the choice. It's just like if you use that same scenario with the kid that don't show up for dinner. Now, if that kid start disappearing, and he makes the choice, and he's of age, and he decides, hey, I no longer want to come to eat dinner at the house, then so be it. He has made that choice. He came of age, he made the choice. Just like the prodigal son, came of age, made that choice. What you going to do? I just think we spend a lot of time on the wrong stuff. Let's keep going. That was number 2. Let me give y'all number 2. Let me put number 2 in the comments so y'all will have it. Let me drop that in there real quick. Yeah. All right. All right. Number three says this. He says, its members hate the world. We're talking about 5 good reasons your church should close. Its members hate the world. Now, I know that sounds a little strong, but watch what the writer says. He says this. He says, many Christians struggle with the world. I get that. He says, morals are shifting, culture is changing, and we're quickly moving into a post-Christian world. He says, it's easy not to like what you see. And it's led a lot of Christians in this generation, though, to behave as though they hate the world. He says the history of the gospel is that God's not a fan of what he sees, not just in the world, but in our hearts. So what does he do? He loves us anyway. He says one of the most quoted Bible verses of all time says that God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. He says if God so loves the world, Christians really don't have permissions to hate it. So you can get frustrated and you ain't got to agree with everything, what the writer says. He says, but you should not hate the world. He says, to make things even more challenging for us personally, remember this. It's really hard for some believers. It's really hard for someone to believe you love them when it's clear that you don't like them. Oh, my God. Woo. Let me say that again. He says, to make things even more challenging for us personally, remember this. It's really hard for someone to believe you love them if it's clear you don't like them. Oh, my God. But we got these people in church that and come up to you. Well, you know I love you, right? That's what they say, right? You know I love you, right? That's the mess we do, though. That's the mess we put out, and we try to disguise our Christianity under this fake version of what we believe or perceive to be love. The writer says this. He says, when a church behaves like it hates the world, it should never be shocked that the world doesn't flock to embrace it. When you act like you don't care about the community that you live in, you can't be shocked when the very community you live in refuses to even set foot inside your doors. You can't be shocked. You can't be surprised. You can't be surprised when the very people that you treat like crap or you treat like they don't exist, you can't be surprised when they don't show up. You can't be surprised. Let me read some of these. It says the Bible commands us to love, not to trust or like. Absolutely. But Felicia Martin, I want to challenge you on something. You're absolutely right. The Bible does command us to love. You're absolutely right. But I don't have to like what you do. But I still have to love you. Now, me loving you, you can't sit up and tell me you love me, but you don't like me. I'm sorry. You're lying to yourself. And I'm not talking to you necessarily, Felicia, but you're lying, period. You can't say you love me and not like me. You can't. It doesn't work that way. You cannot like my actions, and sometimes you cannot like my behavior, but you can't say, I can't. You know, because here's the deal. If you can say these words out your mouth, I can't stand him, but I love him. No, you don't. No, you don't. It just doesn't flow. God bless y'all. I'm looking at all these. I keep getting these alerts for y'all sending my mama happy birthday messages on my page. God bless y'all. Y'all just got me over here just smiling. Y'all don't even like all that kind of stuff. But that's what y'all doing. Y'all, it's amazing. I preach. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But how you going to, seriously, you're going to tell somebody, you're going to stand up and preach and say, I love you. But then after you get through preaching, you walk up to some folk and say, he or she is just evil. Huh? Where they do that at? What Bible tell me that? Right. Sometimes she doesn't like you. Sometimes. But no, I'm talking about those who, when they see you into the room, They like, oh, here she come. Oh, here he come. I can't stand her. I can't stand him. How you say you love me then? Or as the Bible, as Jesus said, how can you love me who you've never seen, but your brother that you see every day? Oh, my God. Huh? I don't hear nobody. I find it so strange that's the behavior. And watch this. And if your church behaves that way, that church is on the verge of closing. Cindy says Psalm 97:10. What's Psalm 97:10, Cindy? Psalm 97:10. Help us out now. You just can't give me a scripture. Don't tell me what it is. Okay. Let the Lord love scripture. Let's see. Psalm 97:10 says, yet ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. Ye that love the Lord. Right. I like that. I think we need to get to a point. The very question I ask is, when I left my former question, she says, you love me coming in and hate me leaving out. Woo! You right, though. Let me put that right there. Yeah. I'm just saying it's just amazing how we in the church how we in the church behave sometimes and how we think it's okay to do and say some stuff and talk to people any kind of way, but we love them. We don't talk to you any kind of way. But we love you. Let's keep going, y'all. Number four, I got 10 minutes. Number four says this. Number four says, again, we're talking about five good reasons the church should close. Number four says this. I know this ain't finna go well, but I'm gonna read it. The writer says this: preserving the past is more attractive than embracing the future. Preserving the past is more attractive than preserving than embracing the future. The writer says this. He says, when things aren't going well, it's easy to think the past is more attractive than the future. The writer says this: visit a lot of churches and you'll discover they're looking backward and not forward. Woo! He says, when your fondness for what you used to do is greater than your passion for what you're going to do, you're in trouble. Bottom line, when all of your excitement is about the past, you haven't got much of a future. I can drop the mic right there. There are churches right now in this city of Chicago who are doing everything in their power to preserve the past because they believe what they had back then is greater than what they can have in the future. And they're so certain about what the past used to be. And watch this. And this is what has started to happen. They're not just preserving the past. They're adding things to the past that never occurred. They're making themselves out to be some greater thing than they actually were. Because see, you know, we have a history. Some of us have a really bad way of rewriting history. We have a real bad way of rewriting history. because we like to believe, oh, we were, you know, it's like, you know, it's like old fish tales and old wives tales and old war stories. You know, the truth is you barely escaped the battle. You know, you ran and you hid and then somebody came and they saved you. And that's what really happened. But by the time you get 65 or 70, you know, well, what happened was we were entrenched and it was me and my rifle. And I took out seven of them. And then when the rest of them, I fought them off with the butt of my gun. And then the rest of them, when I lost the gun, I killed two more hand-to-hand combat. Then I picked up a branch and I stabbed one of them with a tree branch. And then before you know it, I went from just surviving to I killed 13 people in the battle. That's what but the truth is, you just barely made it. See how we like to change history? You know, we want to change the circum. We want to make our, because, and the only reason you do that, watch this. The only reason you do that is because you don't have any new stories to tell. And you haven't accomplished anything new. So now you have to go back and not only rehash stuff from the past, you got to add to the stuff in the past. You got to rewrite history. This is like right now. People in the South are complaining about these statues being torn down. Can we not rewrite history? General Robert E. Lee is not an American hero. He is not an American hero. He was a traitor to this country, a traitor, someone today who would be shot and killed. He was a traitor. He fought against the Union. How you going to sit up and try to keep changing history around? It's just like in school. We were taught in school, Christopher Columbus discovered America. And we believed it. In 1492, aboard a ship called the Nina and the Pinta, Christopher Columbus discovered America. He showed up on a land that had never been, that was not inhabited, and he showed up and he discovered America. And then we find out some years later, when somebody finally decided to show us the proof, oh, wait a minute. So what you're saying was he got lost and he ran into an island that was inhabited, by the way. He ran into an island that was inhabited, by the way, sent word back to his people back in Spain, and then they all came over here and conquered the people that were here. That's the truth. But history was rewritten, and we were told that he discovered it. That's how we teach down our churches. So we're more concerned about preserving history than forging ahead and creating new history. Watch this, though. Can I help somebody? And I'm going to say this. I'm going to keep it moving. Let's say your church has been around 50 years, right? And in the 50 years your church has been around, you have this history of the church. And the great things that you speak about of the church were, say, 25 years ago, right? So in the first 25 years, you experienced all the great things in the church, right? That's when you experienced the great, those were the heydays of the church, the first 25 years. All right, so now let's fast forward through the next 25 years, right? We're talking about a church that's 50 years old. So now you've had new people come in who did not experience the heyday. So all they hear are the stories of how great you used to be. Stay with me. Don't miss this. And then they start bringing in people who only hear the stories. All we used to have and all we used to do. So let's fast forward now. Now we're in year 35, right? So now we're 10 years removed from the great stuff. Now let's go ahead to year 45. Now we're 20 years removed from the great stuff. And now all these people who come in have no knowledge and they've never experienced the greatness that you speak of. I've never seen these things at this church. I've never seen them in my life. I don't know what you're talking about. So all you do is constantly talk about what we used to do. I haven't seen any of these great things since I've been at this church. So these people who are talking about a 50-year legacy are talking about great things that happened 30 years ago, 35 years ago. That's when the 25-year greatness period. And then 10 years after that, and then 10 years after that, and then now we're here at this point, and nobody knows anything. So the new people coming in have only experienced what you have today, which ain't that great. Come on, somebody. It ain't that great. Right, no new testimonies. All you got is what we used to do. Number five, my God, let me get through this. Number five says this, the money isn't remotely tied to the mission. Oh, Lord, the money isn't remotely tied to the mission. Ooh, my. Oh, my. Ooh, this is what the writer says. Let me get this in here. The writer says this, and we're going to try to get up out of here on time. The writer says, come on, computer, let me get my stuff back now. All right. The writer says this. He says, how churches handle money is often a subject of scrutiny. And for sure, churches are accountable before God and people about how we use donated dollars. He says, when a church is thriving, money is being poured into life change. People who don't know Christ are coming to know him. Kids are being nurtured in the love of Christ. The church reaches out into the community and makes a difference with tangible needs. He says, but in a church that's lost its mission, money gets mistreated in at least two ways. Uh-oh. He says, where funds are low, everything becomes about keeping the lights on. Oh, my. Staying open for X amount of months or years, and the drive becomes about preservation, not purpose. Woo! He says, but not every purposeless church is without money. Many dying churches are actually rich with cash. He says some have huge endowments, large bank accounts, or sit on millions of dollars in real estate. He says one of the great ironies of the 21st century in Western churches is that churches with money and buildings often have no people. Can I read again? He says often churches with churches with money and buildings often have no people, and churches with people often have no money and no buildings. He says, wouldn't it be amazing if churches with buildings but no people gave them to planters with people but no buildings? Oh, my God. He says, it's happening in a growing number of cases, but what if it became a universal trend? Regardless, if you stop using money to further your real mission, it's a sign that you should close. Oh, my God. Let me read the rest of this, and I'm going to close out. He says, I have a bias toward keeping churches alive, and my dream is to see every church grow. If that dream was to come true, no church would close, and every church would become effective in reaching the people of God so deeply loves. He says, on September 19th, 2017, I launched a brand new online series called Breaking 200 Without Breaking You. I can't wait to see that. He says, it's designed to help senior pastors and their boards and leadership break through the barrier. 85% of churches never move past the 200 attendance barrier. Wow. That's good, y'all. This is going to be good. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to give you all the rest of this article in the comments. This is good, man. This is good. I'm going to give you the rest of this so you can read it for yourself. But my God, this has been good. Let us pray. Father God, we come right now, Lord, to say thank you. God, we thank you just for being the head of our lives, God. We thank you for all the things that you've done for us, God. We thank you for your continued blessings, God. We thank you for everything that you bestow upon us, God. We thank you for this platform that you've given us, God, this Taking Limits Off radio show, God. We thank you for Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church that gives us a place to host this church, to host this service, God. God, we thank you for that right now, God. Then right now, God, I want to say right now, God, I thank you for giving my mother 67 wonderful years, God. I thank you for giving her to this world, God. I thank you for who she is, God. I thank you for the spirit of giving that you've put into her, God. I thank you for allowing her, God, to be the woman that she is, God. Right now, God, I ask that you would give her the desires of her heart, God, because you know her heart, God. You know she gives her last to any that would ask for it, God. So right now, God, I ask that you would give her increase, not just tenfold, but 100-fold, God, 1,000-fold right now, God. I decree that in the natural so that it may start to shape, take shape in the supernatural, God, right now. So, God, I said thank you for her 67 years that you've given her, God. And, God, I thank you right now for all of our listeners, God, all of our watchers, those who commented, those who didn't, God, those who came to see and those who came to encourage and those who even talk against it. God, I ask that you would bless even them right now, God. Now, God, I ask you for traveling mercies as I leave this place and that you would give our listeners traveling mercies as they go, God. God, we continue to say prayers for those in Florida and for those in Houston, God, and for those in the Caribbean islands right now, the U.S. Virgin Islands, God. We ask that you would bless them, God, and give them their needs right now. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. It's been good, man. This has been good. I appreciate y'all, man. It's been absolutely amazing. Y'all stay blessed, man. We got to go. Taking limits off. See y'all. Praise Break Friday. Same time, same channel. 12 o'clock. Keep your head on a swivel. Got to go, y'all. Peace. Picking up the cross and taking the limits off, taking the limits off, taking the limits off, do it for God the boss, taking the limits off, taking the limits off, taking the limits off. Every day I'm living, trying to live right, picking up my cross, it's a daily fight. Some of us in the dark, so we need light. Let's talk about his word to gain insight. Too many of us lost, though we go to church, following traditions that no longer work. Steady passing them along as if they carry worth. Christ died for our freedom, but we still hurt. Lack of knowledge got us bonded by tradition's curse. Hopefully we last, but we ain't the first. Then we judge to make matters worse. Don't hold a grudge, cause I'm in church with a wrinkled shirt. Picking up the cross.